The word of God given to us today is Acts chapter 19, verses 13 through 20. Please turn to page 220 of the New Testament. Allow me to read the words of God. Some Jews who went around driving out evil spirits tried to invoke the name of the Lord Jesus over those who were demon-possessed. They would say, "In the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches, I command you to come out." Seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, were doing this. One day, the evil spirit answered them, "Jesus I know, and Paul I know about, but who are you?" Then the man who had the evil spirit jumped on them and overpowered them all. He gave them such a beating that they ran out of the house, naked and bleeding. When this became known to the Jews and Greeks living in Ephesus, they were all seized with fear, and the name of the Lord Jesus was held in high honor. Many of those who believed now came and openly confessed what they had done. A number who had practiced sorcery brought their scrolls together and burned them publicly. When they calculated the value of the scrolls, the total came to 50,000 drachmas. In this way, the word of the Lord spread widely and grew in power. There's a well-known Korean traditional three-line poem that is known to be written by the mother of a loyalist from the late Goryeo dynasty, Jeong Mongju. Let me read you the modern language version of the poem. "Do not fly to where the crows fight, O heron, for angry crows will be jealous of your white shade. I fear you might be made dirty of your body that was well cleansed in the crystal clear water." It shows well of a mother's concern of how much she is worried that her son might get along with the treacherous subjects who disturb the country. And such was the way of life, which most of the scholars of the time sought after in the past hundreds of years. When the world was at trouble, the scholars left the reality to live a rural life instead of trying to make new of the world by encountering the reality. It was not to mingle and share their lives with the poor and uneducated people in the countryside, but generally to maintain their so-called noble, aloof attitudes. 2,000 years ago, Ephesus was a city that was at its peak of corruption, both physically and spiritually. Ephesus, which was one of the four largest cities in the Roman Empire and the biggest in Asia Minor, was a city where money, vanity, and hedonism was rampant, thanks to its geopolitical advantage that it stood as a key location for traffic, commerce, and trades. Moreover, the Temple of Artemis, one of the seven wonders of the world, stood proudly in Ephesus at the time, until it was destroyed by the Goths in 263 AD. As I have lectured while we were looking into Acts chapter 18 and 19, Artemis was a goddess of abundance and fecundity, which the people of Anatolia, or the nowadays Turkey, used to worship. The temple of Artemis was 130 meters in length and 67 meters in width, with 127 pillars supporting the temple. The famous Parthenon, or what used to be the temple for Athena in the ancient times, that stands at the top of Acropolis in Athens, is 69.54 meters in length and 30.9 meters in width, and with 46 pillars. Thus, the length and the width of the Temple of Artemis was twice that of the Parthenon, and quadruple in dimension. It was without doubt a mystery of the ancient world. In this mysterious Artemis temple were thousands of priestesses, who were in fact legal prostitutes. And there were too many slaves at the temple that it was almost impossible to even guess how many they were. Every day, people from all over would come to Ephesus to worship at the temple of Artemis, and the priests of the temple extorted money or other valuables for various excuses. Moreover, the area surrounding the temple, as well as the inside of the temple, were all extraterritorial. All lawbreakers were able to avoid being arrested or confinement as long as they were within that sphere of the temple. So the ever-so-large zone that surrounds the Artemis Temple was always flooded with lawbreakers. Not only that, Ephesus, which was also a heaven for shamans and sorcerers, was a city of delusion where all sorts of superstitions and talismans were rampant. In the perspective of the poem that I've mentioned in the beginning, Ephesus at the time was like a crow nest where jet black crows made disputes. However, Paul did not try to live like a detached heron by himself in a remote place, far away from those crows. He drew a clear line between himself and the people of Ephesus and distinguished himself from them, but still remained in the city. Rather, Paul lived, mingling among the people of Ephesus, in the heart of the city. For 2 years, he used the time which most of the people used as a siesta to study the words of the Lord at the Scholae in Tyrannus. As a result, the gospel was spread all over Asia, what is now the western region of today's Turkey. When Paul set his hand on a sick person, he or she was healed, and demon was casted out of the body. Same thing happened even when people took the handkerchief or the apron that Paul used when he was making tents for his living and placed them on the sick people. The seven sons of Sceva, who have seen this happen, tried to imitate what Paul did to handle demons, but instead got into a big trouble. But ironically, through this incident, as we have found out last week, more people of Ephesus came to fear the Lord, whom Paul preached about, and even those who had obscure belief in Jesus confessed their sins and obeyed him to build a more respectful relationship with the Lord. What was more surprising was that the sorcerers who have been deceiving people publicly burned all their endeared sorcery scrolls, which were their actual source of earnings. When people calculated the value for each sorcery scroll, the total amount estimated to be around 50,000 silver drachmas. 50,000 silver drachmas was equivalent to a person's wage for 50,000 days worth. And it was a big sum of money which a person could only earn by working without a day of rest for 137 years. But these sorcerers who've met Paul burnt all the scrolls that were worth 50,000 silver drachma without hesitation. As such, revolutionary incidents, which no one had expected, occurred in Ephesus through one single person, Paul. Paul, a Herod, entered Ephesus, a city where crows were disputing, and instead of Paul being stained black, the people of Ephesus, who were as black as the crows would be, turned into herons, just like Paul, and lived to get along with each other. Then just how great of a man is Paul? Wouldn't it fit to call him a hero? How were all these revolutionary things possible for Paul, when he was also a man with the same kind of temperament as us? Verse 20 of today's passage gives us the answer to that question. In this way, the word of the Lord spread widely and grew in power. The passage clearly tells us that the works of life in Ephesus, the city of idols, corruption, and superstitions, have occurred not because of Paul's own ability, but through the power possessed in the words of the Lord whom Paul preached. The Greek word kratos, which was translated as power, means authority or military strength. Just like the absolute authority of the absolute sovereign or the military strength of an invincible army, the Lord's words contain absolute power which can never be matched with anything on this earth. The passage also writes that the Lord's words spread widely. The Greek verb auxano means to get bigger or to increase. There were countless numbers of strong men and invincible armies in the human history, but the power they possessed always declined and became extinct once they passed its momentary peak. How much strong a power may seem, it is not much different from the foams that disappear instantly once it becomes extinct, as if a flower withers after the leaves fall off. There's only a slight difference in time, but the power of the Lord's words are nothing close to the power on earth that extinguish. The more you accept the words of the Lord, the more the power of the Lord's words amplify to 30-fold, 60-fold, and even 100-fold. That is, because the Lord, who is the main force of the power, is the eternal God who is never exhausted. That is why today's passage ends with, "In this way, the word of the Lord spread widely and grew in power." The Greek verb, ischio, which was translated as grew in power, also means to win. As I have mentioned, the seven sons of Sceva imitated Paul and used the name of Jesus as a spell to control the demon, even though they did not believe in Jesus, and were beaten by the demon. Last week's passage, verses 15 and 16, show the situation in more details. One day the evil spirit answered them, "Ye Jesus I know, and Paul I know about, but who are you?" Then the man who had the evil spirit jumped on them and overpowered them all. He gave them such a beating that they ran out of the house naked and bleeding. there was only one demon-possessed man, and on the contrary, there were seven sons of Sceva. But a single demon-possessed man jumped on the seven sons of Sceva like a leopard, leaping on its prey, and easily defeated them. The word defeat that I just used is what Sceva means. The demon was much more stronger than the seven sons of Sceva. But the demons and Satan were all weak before the words of the Lord. The eternal words of the Lord possesses a power incomparable to any other powers in this world, and they spread widely without stopping or being exhausted, which is why the Lord's words can win anything on this earth. In other words, there is nothing on this earth that can beat the Lord's words. If you visit where Ephesus used to be to see the mysterious temple of Artemis of 2,000 years ago, the only thing that's left there at the ruins is a single white marble pillar. Apart from that one pillar, there is nothing left there at all. The power of the Temple of Artemis that once used to be so absolute became absolutely extinct with the invasion of the Goths in 263 AD. However, the words of the Lord that Paul preached in Ephesus 2,000 years ago transcends in time and space and lives and is with us even to this day. The power of the Lord's words defeated the Temple of Artemis that overwhelms people. We can witness this fact at the old site of Ephesus, which is now just ruins. But 2,000 years ago, at the time of the passage, the Temple of Artemis was in good condition, and the people and sorcerers of Ephesus lived under the influence and control of the idol Artemis. And yet they realized that the invisible words of the Lord, whom Paul preached, overpowered the visible temple of Artemis and its idol, which they've been worshipping, and turned towards the Lord without hesitation. The moment they realize the powers of the Lord's words, the more we think about it, the more great Christians they were. To believe in Jesus is to believe in his words. To believe in Jesus' words is to believe in the power of the words of the Lord. If you cannot believe in that power, you cannot live to the words. Paul's greatness also lies in the fact that he had never stopped or gave up on living to be the witness of the Lord under any circumstance. The reason this was possible for Paul was Paul also believed in the power of the Lord's words. That is why, although he may have been the poorest and the most unattractive person, he lived an eternally winning life by depending on the words of the Lord whenever and wherever, and lives eternally as our role model of faith 2,000 years later. God spoke through prophet Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 20, verses 10 through 12. Therefore I led them out of Egypt and brought them into the wilderness. I gave them my decrees and made known to them my laws, by which the person who obeys them will live. Also I gave them my Sabbaths as a sign between us, so they would know that I, the Lord, made them holy. The reason why God freed the Israelites from their slavery in Egypt and gave his words, his laws and decrees, is because it was only through God's words that humans will live. The Hebraic verb hayai, which was translated as will live, means to save life. Only through God's words can we save our lives from this world, which consumes and exhausts our lives. God's words are the light that beats the temptations and darkness of the world. God's words are the virtue and justice that wins over the world's evilness and injustice. God's words are the wishes to overcome the despair of the world. God's words are the ability to create that can help win over the troubles and hardships of the world. Is this not why the poet sang as follows? Psalm chapter 119, 71-72. It was good for me to be afflicted so that I might learn your decrees. The law from your mouth is more precious to me than thousands of pieces of silver and gold. In the words of the Almighty God who created the heaven and earth, all the hardships and troubles in the world sublimate into spiritual assets more precious than any treasure. Moreover, God's words have the decision power that helps to overcome ourselves, the last one to fight against is never on the outside. It is yourself you need to fight against. If you cannot win from the fight with yourself, you will but fall instantly, even in the Garden of Eden, just like Adam and Eve. Next is Paul, the Apostle's confession. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, 25-27, everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. No, I strike a blow to my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. Just as those who compete in the games goes into strict training, Paul struck a blow to his body and made it his slave. This doesn't mean that he tortured himself physically, but tempered himself with the words of God. Had he not done that, he would have never become the Paul that we know of today. Above all, the words of the Trinity God are the life that wins death. Jesus, who came back to life after breaking death, was the Logos itself in flesh that came to this earth. Thus, without the power of the words of the Trinity God, There is nothing that can save our lives in this world, which consumes and exhausts our lives. By the time Jesus' public life on earth was coming to an end, he took Peter, John, and Jacob to a high mountain. When they reached the top of the mountain, Jesus' face lit up like the sun, and his garments whitened brightly. And Moses and Elijah talked with Jesus from the heaven. It was such a blissful sight, Peter pleaded to Jesus. Matthew's chapter 17, verse 4. Peter said to Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. Peter wished to live on the entrancing mountain with Moses, Elijah, and Jesus, never to return to the world. He wished to live detached from the world like a heron. But Jesus came back down to the world without saying a single word to Peter's plea. The reason why the Lord came down to this earth was not to live like a detached heron or a scholar alone in a remote mountain, but to mingle among the crow-like sinners and give them his life. That is why he died a bloody death on the cross, nailed on all four limbs, in order to pay for the sins of the sinners, even more black than the crows. But the despair of the cross, the torture rack of death, the pain, the darkness, and the death of the cross never managed to win over Jesus Christ. Because Jesus won and broke death and was eternally resurrected, that Jesus told us in John chapter 16, verse 33. Excuse me. I have told you these things so that in me you may have in peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. Whatever kinds of ordeals and hardships we may encounter while living in this world, we still stay dauntless, enjoying the absolute peace in the words of the Lord. Because the resurrected Jesus who broke our death defeated the world. Here, the Greek verb nikao, which was translated as overcome, was a stronger connotation than ischio in today's passage, meaning to conquer. The fact that Jesus conquered the world means that he completely won over the temptation of Satan, won the darkness of the world, the despair, the pain, and his own self that wanted to avoid the suffering of the cross, the slanders, and the death that consumes everything and conquered them. In that Christ, with the powers of his words, we too can win over the world and ourselves. My dear fellow believers, let us not forget that our goal is not to live like the detached scholars or herons in a remote place from the world. But to mingle with others in this world, much like where the crows are disputing, and live on as witnesses of the Christ. Are you covered in blood, in wounds in any way? Have you fallen into the pit of despair, where it's even hard to breathe? Are you stuck in the pain of death, which you cannot possibly escape from? Are you being falsely slandered by the people you trusted? But let us all be dauntless, enjoying the absolute peace of our Lord. The Lord is already present in us, in spirit, and has already embraced us with His own words. The Lord's words carry the absolute power. The Lord's words aren't like the fog or foam that'll disappear someday. Their eternal power that will spread widely day by day. The words of the Lord who broke death and came back to life are the words that won over and conquered this world. To believe in Jesus is to believe in the power of His words. Let us all take after Paul and live to be the witnesses of the gospel, who live on the strength of the words under any circumstance. Even if we may have failed all the times we fought against the world and ourselves, we will become ever victorious, transcending in time and space, just like Paul, who lived by the strength of the power of the words of the Lord, who has won over and conquered the world. Let us pray. Father God, we try to live alone like the detached scholars or herons, isolated from the world, like Peter wished on the Mount of Transfiguration. But at this moment, we thank you, opening our eyes to live as your witnesses who seek after the Lord, who has gone down to the world of dispute from the blissful Mount of Transfiguration. Let us not forget that to believe in Christ is to believe in the words of the Lord. To believe in the words of the Lord is to believe in the power of the words. Although our realities may be a wreck, allow us to live dauntlessly, enjoying the absolute peace in the Christ who came back to life after breaking the bloody death on the cross. Help us to win over the temptation of the Satan, the darkness of the world, the despair, the pain, the slanderings, the fight against our own selves and against the death that consumes everything under the strength of the words of the Lord who has conquered the world. Thus, let the paradox of the holiness, which the world instead becomes anew through us, that differentiated themselves from the world, to happen every day in the history of this era. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.